a person sneezes and someone says, God bless you. But what God are they invoking for a blessing? A street corner preacher asks passersby, brother, are you saved? Saved from what? And by whom? May the force be with you. But what force? This trinity of questions came to mind as I considered the occasion of Trinity Sunday before us today. As Christians, we know that the only God who blesses is the only God there is, about whom the church confesses, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. In response to the question, brother, are you saved? As Christians, we know that the only Savior who saves is the only Savior there is. The incarnate Son of God, against whom all have sinned and done what is evil in his sight, and therefore need his forgiveness in order to be saved. And about whom the church confesses, we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, of one being with the Father. For our sake he was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And the only force who can truly protect, preserve, empower, and enlighten human beings is the force who is also a person, the third person of the divine Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who indwells all who believe in God the Father and God the Son, being the Holy Spirit by whom saving faith is born in the human heart in the first place, through the hearing, preaching, teaching, and sharing of the Word of God, the Bible. So even though we often hear people say, we all believe in the same God, right? The unequivocal response of the Christian church is, no, we don't. A God by any other name than the triune God of the Bible is a false God, and thus is no God at all. God, by the very definition of the word, is an exclusive term. It points to a singular, unique being, a being in a class by himself. To be God is to belong to a club of one. In this case, the club of one in three, three in one. Yes, the Trinity is a mystery. Yes, the triune nature of God boggles our minds. But that doesn't make the church's doctrine of the Trinity untrue simply because it's too big, too mysterious, too magnificent for our finite, puny little minds to fully grasp. When the Christian church declares the non-negotiables of our faith, as stated in the historic creeds of the church, the Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene creeds, it is making assertions as a community of believers. These assertions are our convictions. They're not our convictions because we've made up the doctrines of the church, nor are we convinced of their truthfulness because, well, you know how it is. Everybody has to believe in something. No. The Christian church confesses faith in the triune God because God himself has revealed himself as triune, as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit. This means that God by any other name is not the one true and only God revealed in the Bible. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Krishna. The triune God of the Bible is not one God among many gods, like Greek mythology or Hinduism or any other sect or religion purporting to believe in a god or many gods. But the triune God who makes himself known in his holy word, in his Son, and in the Holy Spirit is God without peer. He has no competitors. He is without equal, being alone, the one true and only God, creator of all that is, seen and unseen. Being alone, risen from the dead, and the one true and only Savior of the world. And being alone, the one true and only comforter, advocate, and guide of all of God's people in heaven and on earth. The Trinity has no competitor for the throne of the universe. Nor is he under any threat of losing his power and glory to a usurper. And though not expressly stated as such, the doctrine of the Trinity is a settled sacrosanct doctrine of the Orthodox Christian Church. It came about not by the imagination or wishful thinking of man, but by a loving God's own self-revelation in the pages of sacred scripture and incarnate in his Son. As 1 John 4:10 and 13 tells us, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. From verses like these, the Christian church explicated the doctrine of the Trinity. Not out of thin air just to confuse people in the pews or to befuddle the mind of an already befuddled and skeptical world, but because the doctrine of the Trinity rightly describes the person and nature of God according to God's revelation of himself. Otherwise, we'd be as blind men, groping about without any hope of success, of ever finding our way out of the prison of our sin into the light of salvation that God won for us on the cross and reveals to us in his incarnate Son and Holy Word. Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission prior to his ascension into heaven, telling them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This being but one biblical reference among many, showing the threefold nature of the Godhead in whom the church declares its faith and offers its worship. Our sure and certain confidence in the nature of God as one God in three persons is based on God's own revelation of and about himself. First in his creation, then in his word, and preeminently and supremely in his Son. As Colossians 1, 15 and 19 through 20 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So if you want to know what kind of God God is, look to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom the invisible God is made visible. Today, many people are talking about how they self-identify, creating an identity for themselves that often bears little or no connection to the reality of who and what God created them to be. But they are self-identifying in ways completely contrary to God's will and design. Tragically, they fail to realize that God already gave them an identity by creating them in His image and likeness. A likeness that sin has horribly marred in all of us, but not utterly destroyed. Like we were, they are. Fallen, lost, needy, and seeking for themselves something they will never find in themselves. An identity that alone can truly satisfy. But not apart from belonging to and being in Christ through repentance and faith in His name. Creating our own identity can never provide the true joy and peace that comes with believing and being baptized in the threefold name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the identity that blesses, the covenant that saves, and the force who is with us all the days of our life, even to life everlasting in the kingdom of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When it comes right down to it, human beings have only one of two destinies set before them. Either eternal salvation or eternal judgment. Either heaven or hell. Either bliss or torment. Either being forgiven or being condemned. Either being saved or being damned. But as Christians, the good news of the gospel is that there is only one destiny set before us. Salvation, heaven, bliss, being forgiven, being saved. This is the eternal destiny of every believer because of the plan of salvation ordained by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. A plan to create and redeem a people uniquely His own. A people who will eternally enjoy holy fellowship with Him without any taint of the sin, suffering, pain, agony, misery, rebellion, and enmity against God that characterizes life in this world, apart from faith in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Instead, the believer has this assurance, as the Apostle John writes in his first letter, chapter 5, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." How do we come to this saving faith in the Son of God? The answer is through the power of the third person of the Trinity, about whom the church confesses, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets." The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's only by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit, through the right preaching, right teaching, and faithful spreading of the Word of God, that sinners are regenerated and brought to a saving faith. As Jesus said in John 14, 26, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." When we base our lives on and our eternal destiny in the God who revealed Himself as our Heavenly Father, who became incarnate in God the Son, our Savior, and walk according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is always consistent with and never contrary to the Word of God, the guaranteed end result will be right theology. And the guaranteed end result of right theology is doxology. Doxology means praise, worship, adoration. So while the Bible doesn't try to explain how God can be one in three and three in one, it boldly proclaims this divine truth of God, about God, by God, and which in turn inspires people to exclaim, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." In the heart of the unbeliever, right theology reveals rebellion, enmity, disobedience, and hatred toward God. But in the heart of the believer, proclamation of the triune God leads to exclamation, an exclamation to exaltation. The proclamation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the one true and only God redounds to the exclamation and exaltation of His power, majesty, and glory now and forevermore. With one voice, the church on earth and in heaven is united in proclaiming, exclaiming, and exalting God as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit. Just as we do so now together, raising our voices in doxology to God with these exuberant words of Psalm 145. "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. Amen."